just my salvation is not. You're more than that, God.
Hallelujah.
You're the great I am. You're everything.
Yes.
Everything I long for.
Yes.
God will let us take complete fullness of all that you desire. Everything, God. To go beyond the place of being born again and going, Father, God, Lord, going Father in you, God, Lord, and becoming mature sons and daughters. God, Lord, we give glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Let's give praise one more time.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes. He's worthy. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Man, this has been on my heart. This right here, God really put this on my heart about some things and began to give me revelation on the understanding of this. But I want to really try to cover a lot of ground in a short amount of time, if I can, okay?
Amen.
But I have a board here because I want to write a few things down. My daughter drew that right there, so pretty cool. I want to explain it. Amen. But I want to look up, if some of you got scriptures, Bibles, I'd love it if you could read a couple for me. Genesis 25, 19 through 34, if you could. So whoever's got it, somebody got it?
Yep.
Genesis 19, 25, 19.
This is the account of Abraham's son Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean from Paddan Aram, and sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her.
Okay, right here, I want you to get this. So we have two inside her, Esau and Jacob.
Right.
I want you to catch this. Esau was the firstborn, and Jacob was the secondborn. And within her, there was something happening. Would you tell me what was happening inside of her?
There was wrestling.
There was a wrestling within her between the two that were within her. I want you to get this and understand this, because this really gets a grip of our understanding with our walk with God, because sometimes people wonder, they think maybe I'm not saved, or I'm not all this, or I'm not strong enough, or I don't have faith, and all these different things, and they race within their minds. It's a battle, alright? And they ultimately become strongholds if we let them override us. But this is powerful. Keep going and tell us what it says. Verse 23.
And she says, why is this happening to me?
Why? How many of you ever said that?
Amen.
Why is this happening? Come on, amen. Come on. There's a struggle going on there. Go ahead, keep going.
So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb.
How many nations?
Two nations.
Keep going.
And two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger.
The older will serve the younger. I want you to catch this real quick. I'm just going to give this to you. Okay? That you are born in the sin. You're born in the flesh. Okay? That's the older. That is Esau. Okay? It is earthy. Esau was earthy. I got these written down here. He was the man of the flesh, seeking the cares of the world. Remember, he sold his birthright. He sold it. He gave it up, hallelujah, for the things of the world. Amen. We are in this world, but not of this world, hallelujah. So Esau, he sold that off. That was his birthright. But Jacob, he was playing. He was a, what does it say that he was? Let's say that. Is that right there?
Then he was grasping Esau's heel.
I can't see where it says, but it is, I don't know exactly where it is, but it says that Jacob was a tent dweller. He stayed at home. He was, home. It was in the place of tabernacle. He was a tabernacle. He was representative. That's who we are in the spirit. That we carry, we represent God. And the older would serve. It's supposed to serve. The older is supposed to serve the younger. It's supposed to serve it. But here's what happened. After it was born, just like every one of us, when we are born, when we receive Christ in our hearts, and when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're birthed, we come forth with water. There's a breaking. Say breaking.
Breaking.
And when that comes forth, there's no more struggle. They're separated. They're separated. But I want you to see something. Jacob had to get to a place where that he trusted God and he knew God because Esau was on his tail. Esau was always right behind him, trying to get his attention. That old man, come on, I want you to get this, was chasing him down. He was more powerful in his own mind, all this. But God got to get him to know this. You ready for this? He says that God's got to get him. Jacob had a dream, a vision at Bethel, the house of God. Genesis 25. Who he really was. Jacob had an experience, a panada, the face of God. Genesis 28. Who he finally became. Who he really was and to who he became. After you have a vision of who you are, and unless you have a vision of who you are, you'll struggle with yourself to be who you are. Until you come to the understanding that the only way we can do that is in the Spirit. To really understand who we are. Because we're swinging and missing outside of that. So many times we trust that realm. Now, the last time we were here, we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. But what happens is, remember we talked about this, that part of the soulless realm, my feelings, my emotions, my will, and that place needs to surrender to the Spirit. But what happens is, he faces this way, and whatever the body sees, whatever it feels, all those five senses, it affects that soulless realm, and it believes it, and you grow up with that, and it becomes rooted within you, and it ultimately becomes a stronghold, and we don't even realize it's there. I want you to understand, I'm going to share this with you, because, see, strongholds aren't built overnight. I build buildings, and big, massive buildings, and walls, and we don't do it overnight. I don't do it with all the blocks at one time. I start with one. And it seems like it ain't a big deal. When I start off building these massive buildings and you lay that first one, you feel like, oh my goodness, this is going to take forever. I want you to know the enemy wants to roll us to sleep to make us think it ain't a big deal. But it's the first one to many more if we let the enemy begin to build strongholds. It doesn't happen overnight. I want you to catch this. You all with me? So that we can see that, we can understand that. But I wanted to deal with that, with that realm, with the soulish realm, and the spirit. How many of you guys remember, there's another example of these two nations, these two kingdoms. There was Saul, and there was David. David, or Saul, the Bible says when he was anointed, he was set. Come on in, brother. He says when he was set in that place of authority, he was set in that place, he was the first one to come. It was what the people wanted. They wanted this. There became an opportunity for them to choose this. So Saul, I want you to get this. Saul, it says that you find Saul and he's chasing asses, his father's asses, all over the mountains, looking for them. That's when Samuel met him. See, I want you to get this. Your flesh, your soulless realm, is chasing asses. But David is abiding in a shepherd's field, watching over the father's sheep. So I want you to get the contrast to these things. And this can be, it's not supposed to be a war. Tell someone, this ain't supposed to be a war. See, I want you to get this and understand. Because when we begin to let the Spirit of God arise, and we begin to
Amen? Amen.
Is that better?
Yeah.
You can hear now? Okay. Hallelujah. 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 All right. I want somebody to check out Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. I'm going to give you these scriptures, and I just like you to read them so I can go ahead and keep rolling. So while you're looking that up, I want you to understand something, that we as Christians, I want you to get this. The only way the enemy could come into our lives is through an open door. And you give the enemy an open door, okay, catch this. You give him an open door by consistent disobedience through an occult, all right, through different types of witchcraft and different things like that, and you can have that. And we believe in this church that there's deliverance, that God can deliver people out from those things that can try to captivate people, that can kind of come in because the doors have been opened, that God can release you from that you don't have to stay there. But I want you to get this. See, but once the enemy gets in, he gets in for a reason. He gets in to build strongholds. Once he comes in a person's life, he begins to try to build strongholds within them so that it's tougher to get them out. How many of you have ever seen the pictures of strongholds or castles? And in the middle of those places, I want you to get, is the king and the queen. They're set up. They're protected by these walls, by these huge stones that are almost impossible to move. Some of these stones are 4-5 feet wide by square, massive stones. Unbelievable. If you ever went down to Riverside and seen the Shakespeare's with those stones, those are the types of stones that they would build these fortresses around to keep it. So the enemy, what he'll do is he'll try to get in, and if he's in, even if he gets kicked out, he will leave his dominions, his little evil ones, hallelujah, to get in that place and to set themselves and begin to be in that place to keep you from going farther. Listen, I want you to catch this. I want you to see this, and I'm going to see how this happens, how this takes place. If we let these things go on in our lives, we let strongholds stay, and we're not meant to do that. There's so many Christians that have let strongholds. Every one of us, there's strongholds. They might not be big. They might not be huge or this and that. But there's strongholds that we got to understand, hallelujah, that will disrupt us looking and walking in the Spirit. And it will cause us to be frustrated with our walk with God. It ain't meant to be that way. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. Tell someone it's easy. If it's hard, we're missing something. Come on. It doesn't mean that we don't have challenges. Don't get me wrong. Hear what I'm saying to you. We do face things. But I want you to know that ultimately we begin to trust God. And he's breaking off things that we don't trust him with. You okay? So you got that scripture. Who got it? Go ahead. Read it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and he will direct your path. Lean not on what? My understanding, on my trust, things that I have built upon, that I have built my life upon. Now I want you to catch this. All right, you all right? I want you to hear this. Listen to this. These strongholds come in these different areas in our lives. The number one, there's six things. Say six things. Six things. The number one is fear. Yielding to a possibility of an impending danger. Yielding yourself to the possibility of an impending danger. It's not like it's even there. But you yield yourself to that impending thing. Number one. Number two, anger. Anger, perceived injustice that gives way to wrath. See, that's what happens. When we let anger in, see, we let it in. Say choices. I want you to hear this. See, because here's why. Because when I have an anger, I choose that moment not to trust in God, but to be moved by my emotions and my feeling to react the way that my understanding and my emotions, and it becomes anger. Rejection. Number three, rejection. The act of abandonment to instill feelings of worthlessness. Every one of these things are different things that sometimes want to get a grip in our lives. I want to hear it help you. The act of abandonment to instill feelings of worthlessness.
Come on.
That's rejection. Number four, depression. Despair to the point of hopelessness. I want you to catch this really quick. I want everybody to get this. This is powerful. See, we're to trust in the Lord. And every one of us, how many believe in God? Most of you. Y'all do. Y'all do. But here's the thing. The enemy can't try to convince you that you don't believe in God. He won't mess with that. He doesn't mess with that in your life because you just know that God's real. You know that God is who he is. But what he'll try to get you to do is to not trust God in different areas of your life. He'll try to build upon that. He won't say that God's, but God ain't there for you. You're not worthy. Begin to get you look on those different things to make you think something that you're not. Number what?
Five.
Despair to the point of hopelessness. See, I want you to hear this. See, I want you to get this. I'm sorry, honey. Number five is abuse. Abuse. Here, you got this. Abuse. Say abuse.
Abuse.
That's the victimization gives way to anger and resentment. Abuse. I want you to understand something, that the enemy, doesn't matter who does it. Here's our last one. I'll let you sit down. Self-hatred.
That's number six.
Self-hatred. Say it with me, self-hatred.
Self-hatred.
That is a huge thing. More than what people, because why? Because here's what happens. The enemy will begin to count your years and make you think that you accomplished enough. You begin to look at what you might have from a wealth standpoint, or where you are, come on, amen, and make you think that you're hopeless. See, the enemy will get you to a place to make you think that you're a victim, that there's no hope. See, that's what happens when you don't trust God. He will, that place of having hopelessness, like there's no hope for it. See, that's what fear is. Fear is a place of hopelessness. Anger, rejection. It's a place of hopelessness. See, the enemy wants us to be that we have no hope. You believe in God, but you feel like there's no hope. And at that moment is when the enemy begins to place strongholds and begin to take root in different areas. I want you to get something. We're not meant to have a struggle. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world.
Amen.
And what we do is our emotions, we give him place.
Yes.
That's not his. He has no authority there. Come on, amen. We give him a false hope. That's why Jesus continues and says, I'm knocking to get your attention. If he's knocking, the enemy's knocking. To get your attention. To get you to pay attention to those different things. Well, he will root and he will try to build strongholds within your life. To God to get you to a place where you feel hopeless. Come on, amen. Tell someone we're not hopeless. We're not hopeless. When the enemy gets in, he tries to build these areas. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 10. Y'all know this scripture. But we're going to break this down. Can I break this down for you tonight? What Paul was describing here, and I can get into the history of this, but in Corinth, in Corinth, there was a stronghold like this that sat upon, I forget how many thousands of feet, and it looked down upon the city. And it was a stronghold with a tower, say control tower. Where the ones that were in it controlled everything down below. So when Paul was declaring something, he was talking about something they understood. But it wasn't a place. Tell someone it's not a place. It's your mind. He's talking about a mind. I want you to get this. He's talking about a mind. Not something out. We look at all this stuff and there is a truth to that. But he's talking about this in your mind. Right here. So he says this. For our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now I want you to break this down. There's three things that are in this place. You all got this? You okay? Sorry, Kel. I want to write this down. There's three things that are taking place right here. Number one is strongholds. Number two, these strong walls. Say walls. These are walls. These are individual things that are built. Number two is high places. Tower. Say towers. Those towers are command stations. We're going to get into each one of these. I want to break these down to you to get understanding of this. But these are the community. How many of you guys know what the airplanes, and they're in the command center and they're directing all the traffic? See, this is what the enemy wants to do. He wants your flesh to be submitted to those things so that he control the actions that you have. Number three, say captivities. These are captives. But before they're captives, listen to this. They're captains. See, Paul's making something clear here. Before they're captives, they have to be something, and they're captains. But they're not meant to be captains. You are meant to bring them into captivity. Every thought. Let me bring this out to you. You all right? The walls are lies. They are lies that are against the truth of who God is and who you are. Say lies. Towers are exaggerated. I want you to catch this. This is all going to put this all together. I hope so. But towers are exaggerated. How many guys ever get in a plane and go up really high? And when you go up really high, as you exalt, you get higher. Whatever's down below looks what? A lot smaller. So when you come down, it's exaggerated. And captives, the captains, are thoughts. So you have walls that are lies. You have towers that are exaggerated, those lies, and thoughts that are the captains that are doing the bidding in our thoughts, in our thinking. But I want you to get something. Our thoughts are not enemies. They're not meant to be. They're supposed to be captains. Tell someone they're supposed to work for me. So I want to help you this, man, whether it's in business, whether it's in anything in your marriages, whatever it is. Your thoughts are meant to work for you. Amen. You are empowered. Those thoughts are powerful. Our imaginations our thinking. Hallelujah. God wants to you to captivate them and to be led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. So God can unload, hallelujah, into that dimension in your spirit, His thoughts. See, His thoughts, hallelujah, His thoughts about the matter. See, what we do is we build things out of strongholds, out of lies and exaggerations, hallelujah, instead of having the thought of God and the imagination of God in our mind, and we miss things. We make enemies where we shouldn't be making enemies. Check this out. Strongholds are built with lies, contrary to the truth. Facts is not the truth, but God's word is. Facts are not the truth. Catch this. True doesn't make it truth. What do you mean? Listen. See, what might be true to you, you might be feeling a certain way. You might have a certain feeling or emotion or whatever these things are, and that's what you feel. Maybe there's a depression, or maybe this, whatever those things are, feelings, it might be truth to you. Come on, amen. But it might be true to you, but it's not the truth from God. Because we live by what God declares, not by what we feel or what we see as truth. Because I want you to know, our feelings are liars. Our soulless realm is a liar. It's based upon what it sees out here. And everything that we see, we're not supposed to live by sight. We're live by faith. In God's word, that word is truth. You might say to yourself, well, you know what? I'm this and that about me. No, that's not the truth. It might be true. You might have made some mistakes. But the way God sees you is the truth. Hallelujah. See, when you begin to understand who you are, you begin to get that dimension of who we are in Him. That's the truth. It will deliver you. It will set you free. And it will begin to break down strongholds that get a grip of you.
Yes.
See, you can believe a lie long enough and make it true in your life. Make it true.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's not the truth. Am I making sense? If what I feel contradicts what God says, what I feel is a lie. I'm going to say it again. If what I feel contradicts what God says, what I feel is a lie. People say, yeah, but you know what? I'm sick. That's true. But by His stripes, you're healed. That's truth. That is truth. See, that's a hard thing sometimes for us to get. Why? Because we're so rooted in this part that it doesn't always make sense. It's hard to grip it. It doesn't come overnight. But it comes by brick by brick. Taking every captivity of every thought. Come on. Taking every captive thought. Listen. Through these really quick. Feelings are true, but God's word is truth. Sickness is true, but the healing in Jesus is truth. Amen? It is truth. I'm gonna show you this. Ready? Exodus 6:26. Come with me real quick. How many of you guys know that the children of Israel, do you remember they called themselves what? Grasshoppers. They called themselves grasshoppers. In the sight of their enemies, they were as grasshoppers. Come on, did they not say that? Listen, that's what they said. Exodus 6:26. But this is what God said. Even before they came out of Egypt, God told them this. What did He say? Somebody got that?
Bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their army.
Wait. They're grasshoppers, right? No. God called them an army. See, here's the thing. I want you to get this. The They believed the true thing about themselves, that they were grasshoppers. But the truth was, they were a mighty army. They were a mighty army in God's eyes. See, it doesn't matter. Listen, see, what happens is, I promise you this, the more you believe a lie, the more you'll convince yourself that it's true. I want you to hear this. See, because I'm going to show you the children of Israel did this. But God said, they're not a bunch of losers. He didn't say, bring forth the losers. Bring forth the slaves. He didn't say that. See, Egypt looked at them as slaves. But God says, bring forth my army out of Egypt. That's my army. That's the truth. Hallelujah. I feel that in the spirit so much. I want you to catch this, man. This is good. Exodus 12. Exodus 12. And it says, and it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the same selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host, the army, say the army, they went out of Egypt. The army of God went out of Egypt. Let's look at Numbers. I just want to show you how that this can change really rapidly. Numbers 13. And it says this, and he says, and when they went in, you all know the story of Caleb, Joshua, where they went in, and two of them seen something different than everybody else. I want you to know that Caleb and Joshua were of a different spirit. So the children of Israel were under another influence. But Caleb and Joshua were of a different spirit. They had the heart of God. They believed that God says we're armed. They walked in with the same people, the spies, and seen something different. What the children of Israel seen was true. There were giants in the land. Tell someone there's giants in the land. There were mighty walled cities. They even said that you don't understand. This land will eat us up and spit us out. But Joshua and Caleb seen it a different way. That we are more than mighty. Why? Because God called us an army. God called us an army. That's the truth. The facts might be we look pretty weak. There's a lot of things going on right now. But the truth is what God says. You will never become what God says until you begin to believe it. It's by faith. It's believing and confessing with your mouth. Say, believe in your heart. And confess with your mouth. Check this out. But in their own sight, they were grasshoppers. So he says, it flows, what did God say? It flows with milk and honey. But they say the land will chew us up and it's no good. But God said it flows with milk and honey. What do we choose to see? See, because what they seen around them conflicted with what God was saying. So they let what they seen dictate to what God says. A trust issue. See, God wants us not to lean on our own understanding, but acknowledge, trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Every area, every place, every fear, every place of anger, every place of resentment, every place of worthlessness that you felt in that place, hallelujah, every place that you thought you were as a grasshopper, we got to remind ourselves we're a mighty army. Amen? So he says, and here were all these ones, these, nevertheless the people are strong, they dwell in the land, cities are walled and great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak, they were there. We're going to jump into that in a minute here. But brick by brick, brick by brick, the build up. What did God say about the land? Here's what we need to do. I need to adjust my thoughts and my words to God. I need to adjust. Say adjust. My thoughts and my words to God's. See, what we do is we say, God's, God, you're mighty. We need to adjust our words, hallelujah, to God. In every area, in every avenue of our lives, we need to adjust. Amen? Say adjust.
Adjust.
Hallelujah. He says, the moment there is a conflict, see, there was a conflict there. They still have the mentality of being a slave, and they come across the land. God brings them to this place. They go and see these things, and as soon as conflict arises, it was true there were big giants. It was true of the things that they said, but it wasn't the truth. I want you to hear this. We have to confront a lie. So he says this. I have the choice, what do I confirm and what do I confront? Conflict gives me a choice. It's a fork in the road. It's a decision. So I want you to hear this, that God lets things come our way, things come in our lives. All these moments in our lives, things in our lives, see, because a lot of these things have roots that have come in our lives, things that might have been from a long time ago, maybe resentment issues, whatever those things might be so far in our past, it doesn't matter, because what happened for me at the cross is the truth. But even though God wants us to come so that we can confront those things and we can pull them down, amen, so that we can remove anything that exalts itself above the name of God. So when that conflict comes, we have a choice in that moment whether or not we're going to believe a lie or the truth. And it takes an adjustment. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes adjustments. I want you to hear this. We can't do these things overnight. But what happens, you got to do something. See, because what happens is, and unfortunately, sometimes people just come in and get saved. But there needs to be an understanding that you're going to have choices whether or not. The moment I asked my wife, would you marry me? What did you say? It was a choice for me to be with her. But that wasn't my last choice. Because every day from then on, for 30 years, I chose to be married to her.
Amen.
Despite conflict. Despite no matter what came my way. Despite no matter what, as bad as she might have acted. As horrible as I might have acted. Or out of those places of those dimensions that I've let forth out something I shouldn't have, acted unbecomingly. Listen, it's a choice that I choose to be married. I challenge every young person that comes in to get married or older person that I want you to know that the choice doesn't stop. You will have choices because things will come and you have to adjust.
Amen.
I tell them this, that every day there needs to be a funeral. You'll have one marriage, but every day, because something, I'm telling you, will die. You'll find out you are not as patient as you thought you were. If something doesn't die, something will die. See, I'm going to tell you something. See, God loves us so much, and this is what's so beautiful about it. Things come our way just because it's life. But God says, make the choice. Make the choice, man. You're making, something's coming your way today. And when it does, I'm right there. I'm knocking. Open up and let me in. Make an adjustment. And look to me. Make a choice. Every day we choose to follow God. Every day. When I wake up in the morning, I make a choice. Am I going to walk with God? Or am I going to let my... And when you begin to make the choice and begin to add them up, come on, begin to stack them up. Hallelujah. Greater is He. He becomes greater. Then those other things that you have exalted in your past become smaller. Let me help you, all right? Am I making sense?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get this done. I really tried to be done really quick here. I'm sorry. Let me give you this. Here's the thing. The devil says, this is, when I adjust to the lie, I'll attack the truth. When I adjust to a lie, I'll attack the truth. We become scared of the light because we've adjusted to the dark. And when you turn the light on, I want you to know, sometimes we're like this, but I want you to know, adjust your eyes. Because we become comfortable trusting in fears, doubts, worthlessness, depression. I'm telling you, man, it breaks my heart. I know some people personally that have exalted depression above everything else. And they've trusted, it's become something they've carried around with them. I'm telling you, I'm here to tell you depression's a real thing. But I'm here to tell you, so is God. So is God. And when you get tired of being in that place, adjust your eyes. I'm telling you. Listen. It says, the devil... God says, come and I'll renew your mind. The devil says, don't do anything. God says, come to me, I'll renew your mind. The devil says, don't do anything. Say, don't do anything. Just stay where you are and just keep going the same old, same old, same old. God says, no, I want to renew you. I want to make all things new. All things. All things new. The way that you think of things, I want to make it new. I want to renew all things. But the devil says, nah, just stay where it's at. Stay uncomfortable. Stay miserable. Stay faithless. Let your emotions take control. Let your anger ride you. Just stay where you are. Don't do anything. Come on, amen. We blame everyone. That's what happens. If we don't adjust to the truth, we'll blame everyone. We'll blame everybody else for everything else. Remember Adam? He blamed Eve. Eve blamed Adam. Blamed the devil. Come on. Always blame and say blame. But I'm going to tell you something. The choice to stay there is mine. I'm not saying, listen, I want you to hear something. Some of these strongholds have come because people haven't chosen these things. But they're not meant to just be comfortable and let them stay. Come on. Here's what I mean by this. All those enemies that were in God's place were enemies that were in there because of disobedience in the past. But God says here, they don't have to stay there. But if you turn to me and adjust yourself, you're my army. And we're going to overtake every one of those ones. There were seven different ones. Canaanites, the Amorites, all these ones were different feelings and emotions that we face that we can understand. That God says, listen to me. God delivers us and sets us free. But as we begin to walk with Him, we become partners to what He says about us. And as we adjust ourselves and choose to walk with Him, we'll watch God through us, through our lives, win a victory. Amen. See, if God just does something for you, come on, I've taught you, guys, this. Sometimes my daughter gets so mad at me because I'll say, Christian, I'm going to show you how to do it. You're going to do it on your own. Because if you don't do it on your own, you'll never learn to do it if Daddy did it for you every time. I'm going to show you how to wipe the snow off your car. Listen, Numbers 14:44, and there they saw giants, sons of Anak, which come of the giants and were in their own sight grasshoppers, and so were in their sight. Listen to this. They already lost the battle in their mind. We're going to see here as they go down there that all of a sudden they said, oh, wow, well, maybe we'll go. But the ark and Moses and Joshua and Caleb, they stayed at the camp. But they proceeded to go, and they got defeated. Listen to me. It confirmed the truth that they thought when they got defeated like grasshoppers. I want you to hear this. Listen to me. It confirmed in their mind, God's a liar. They already lost the battle in their mind. You will never win. You will never win the battle outside unless we win the battle inside. We will go in circles and circles and circles all of our lives until the battle on the inside is won. Hallelujah. Till that battle's won, the battle on the outside will never be won. Got me? So as they were defeated, listen, they already surrendered inside. Mentally, you lose military-wise. I think that's the right word. Militarily. Is that it? Yeah, militarily. When you lose mentally, you lose militarily. You can't fight. Evidence. See, this was the evidence. We can't win. It confirmed. We can't win. We can't win. It confirmed what we believe. God wasn't a liar. God was truthful. Joshua and Caleb took the land. But the children of Israel, those ones, never entered in. It's just like real quick with Adam and Eve. Remember God said this to them. If you eat of this tree, what will happen? The enemy told them it was a lie. Didn't he? What happened to them? When? Hundreds of years later. I want you to hear this. See, they didn't understand something died within them. They didn't just die. So every step they walked outside of trusting God caused them to believe, I can't trust God. The truth was they died. They died spiritually. They died and they separated from God. But in their minds, it confirmed within their minds, something about God. If you believe a lie long enough, you'll see everything around you. It'll confirm that it's true. That's why we have to do this. Number one, commit to truth. Say, commit to truth. Study and read the Word of God. Fall in love with the Word of God. Don't just randomly read. Take the Bible and open it up and just begin to say, God, every time I read the Word of God, I say, God, Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes. These aren't just words. This is your word. Open my eyes to my understanding that I see this the way that you intended it for me to see it. Number two, conform to truth by confession. When I'm weak, I'm strong. When I'm poor, I'm rich. Come on. It's not denying you might be poor, but it's standing on you're rich in Jesus. Amen. It's not denying that you might not have ailments. Come on, amen. It's what I say all the time, Dale. It's like the way that I'm feeling, you might be feeling really crappy right now. But you got to declare this. The way that I'm feeling right now, come on, amen, is the same way this is how I'm feeling. It's the same way Jesus felt when you overcome it at the cross. I might be feeling, but I'm feeling the same thing Jesus did, but he overcome at the cross. And he's in me. Amen? So it's not like you're denying that there's things. But it's whether or not I accept it or not. See, what happens is we let it build a place in our lives There's sicknesses and diseases, and there's some things that come in simply a little bit by a little bit, and we begin to let them things root up in our lives and take hold of it. You need to keep declaring the word. Just keep declaring the word. Just keep speaking the word over it. Just keep and say, well, Pastor Chris, listen, there's things that are with me that, man, my knees aren't where they I think they should be. But guess what? I'm still going to declare the word because the truth is I'm healed. Whether I come to the full healing of that measure on earth, I promise you this, God's telling the truth, I will be fully healed. He's not a liar. You shall never die. You will live forever. That's the truth. But yet we fear death so much. Nobody wants to die. I'm not saying that. We're not supposed to. God brought us here to do a purpose, to have purpose. But death is such a fearful thing of people. But when we're so set in our spirit, we know who we are. Death has no grip on me. Paul says, bring it on. If it comes, it comes. If not, I'm here with you. I'm not saying we're supposed to. God wants you to fulfill purpose. Say purpose. Here on earth. Okay? We're not wishing our way out of here. Listen, so confirm the truth by confession. Confession. Adjust your mind. Confront the lie. Confront the lie. If you have these thoughts, confront them. If someone says something, well, you know what, man, you're a real dirtbag. Listen, you're confusing me with somebody else. I remember, what's her name? What's the healing worker? Catherine Coleman. She had a bitter divorce. Even while she was a Christian, she went through some, and she felt so convicted about this. But God set her free from it. God loosened her from it. Because that thing tried to grip her to keep her from moving forward with God. But God says, I have nothing. She said, I have nothing, God. I give everything I have to you. If it's not much. But I'll give you all my love. God says, I'll take it. They said there was three other men before her that God had in mind. She said that. She's the one who said it. And they all said no. She said yes. So a lady come up there and she goes, you know, Mrs. Coleman, she goes, you were in a divorce. You know what God says about divorce and this and that? She goes, she knew if she was so sweet. She goes, I'm sorry, honey. You must have me confused with somebody else. That's no longer me. She confronted the truth. Don't you place that in my head. You can fly around, but you're not going to build a nest. You can fly around. But you won't build a nest. You confront the lie. Listen. The second thing was this. It was towers. Towers. Listen. Here's what it says in 2 Corinthians. Let me read that real quick to you. Casting down imagination. Pulling down strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Everything that exalts itself. That word exalt. Listen, I want you to say exaggerate. Exaggerate. You can never exaggerate God. Hallelujah. You can never exaggerate God. But here's what we do. Anything that exalts itself above God is exaggerated. It's not what it seems. I'm just going to throw this out there. I really don't believe that there's no possible way that those giants were the same giants that were from the beginning, those giants that they talked about. I believe that it was exaggeration. Of what they really were. I know that Goliath was 9 feet tall. The Bible does say that. He was a big man. But I don't even know if they've seen giants. Because in their mind, I believe they are exaggerating a lot of things. Because first of all, the giants had to have been destroyed in the flood. So to me, I'm just saying, unless there's a group of new giants that way, the ones that were from that realm, they were destroyed in the flood. Could have had their heads above water. That's pretty good. No, but you see, I want you to get this. It doesn't matter whether they were or not. I'm going to see this. They exaggerated it so much, they exalted it above what God says about them. This is the land that flows with, they're going to eat us up. They're going to consume us. They exaggerated it. Hallelujah. They began to exaggerate that lie, and it became bigger. That's when you begin to build the towers. That tower, it becomes a command center as we exaggerate. Listen, when you exalt God, He's the only one we're supposed to exalt. But we exalt lies that aren't true. We exalt them and they become bigger, whether they're fears, whether it's doubts, whether whatever somebody might have said. We begin to exaggerate them. We begin to make them bigger than what they are. The only one we're supposed to exalt is God. Because here's what happens. You have this feeling and you exaggerate that feeling. Oh, this is so horrible. This and all this stuff you're going through. But you begin to exalt God. You begin to exalt Him. Father God, hallelujah. You're mighty. You're awesome. Sometimes you don't get no feelings. I don't go by feelings. I don't go by emotions. I begin to exalt God. The Bible says that David said this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He declares to his soul, bless the Lord. His spirit man is declaring, bless the Lord. Whatever, exalt God. Don't exaggerate the problem. Because it'll get so big, you won't be able to get out of it. It might be truth, but you exaggerate it so big. Bigger than what it really is. When it stands beside God, it's not big. Am I making sense?
Yes, sir.
Bring down anything exalted above God. This is what I mean by trust. Because there's things in our life that we exalt. When we don't trust God, we're exalting them above God. Seriously. There's a lot of things that we are fearful of. There's so many things that are there that... Are we trusting God to pull down our exaggerations and exalt Him above them? The frightened spies exaggerated the status of the problem. When you don't exalt God, you exaggerate your problems. Exalting God brings peace. Exaggerating giants brings pain. Exalting God brings peace. But exaggerating your problems brings pain. God is the source of your pleasure. Sin is the source of your pain. And the problem is, there's so many people out there, you get this in the world, that God wants to take away all your pleasure. He's the source of our pain. God is the source of our pleasure. Exalting God causes us to delight in God things. Exaggerating our problem causes us to despise the good things. It causes us to hate the truth. Because we've exaggerated that problem so big that we begin to hate the truth. And that joy... See, this is. I want you to say it. Hear this. Oh, I got one more, and I'm done. We begin to despise those moments of decisions when things come our way, and then we face these things. Whether it's persecution, Paul said, count it all joy, because it's working patience. It's working in you for my good. It's working out in patience. It's working out those other things that have place in your life. So count it all joy. Stand in faith, believing. I am who I said I am. Believe. And when things go our way, as we go through the process, as we go through process in life, count it joy.
Amen.
Count it joy. Come on. That's a hard thing to do sometimes. It's a hard thing to do. But I'm telling you, greater is He that's in me. There's a peace that passes all understanding. And what happens is sometimes when we say that, We get angry at that. Oh, you don't understand. Come on. But you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know. How do I count it joy? How do I do this in this situation? Count it all joy. See, because why? If I don't count it all joy, he's not in control. If I don't count it all joy, that must mean a joy unspeakable. I can't explain it or how it comes because my situation is not telling me it. But the joy unspeakable that's in him. Come on, amen. Listen. I said this from the beginning. Act of faith offends on the act of faith. It'll cause an offense. Say offense. It'll cause an offense within you to be angry and lash out. Okay? Turn the lights off. Listen, the last one is captives. We need to take our captives, the captains, and make them captive. He says, exalteth against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought. Bring them into captivity. Listen, your thoughts aren't bad. See, if they were bad, he'd say destroy them. No, no, no. He said bring them and make them captives. Be in control. Listen, I want you to get this because I want you to get this and understand something because God gives us, he gives us a mind so that we can think, so we can understand, so we can reason things out, but we reason from the spirit, not from the flesh. So we have to learn to bring the captains into captivity. Listen, he says captive to the thoughts, or you will keep thoughts captive. Captivate your thoughts, or your thoughts will keep you captive. Bringing captains captive. Capture your thoughts. Beware of your thoughts. Amen? Beware of your thoughts. We have to be aware. Number one, be aware of your thoughts. Be aware. Catch yourself. What am I thinking? As soon as that comes, ask God. God, catch me. Let me. When these thoughts come my mind, God, Lord, what do I do them? I need to captive. I need to take hold of them. And I need them to bow to who God is in my life. I need to cause them to bow. No, no, no. Here's the truth. Come on. When the enemy is saying something about you, amen, here the doctor will come in and it'll bring you a report. Listen, it might be true, but you bring the truth and you take hold of the word of God and say, but this is what God says about me, amen? This is what God says and we declare the truth. We just speak the truth about the matter, amen? Say, speak the truth. So bringing them to captivity, beware of your thoughts. Change your thoughts. Number two, train thoughts not to trust your thoughts. Train your thoughts. Don't trust your thoughts. Because thoughts are unpredictable. They will fail you. They'll leave you hopeless. So bring them into captivity with God's word. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Romans 12:2. Somebody look that up for me. I'm going to say this to you. Ready? The word think is an acronym. I'm going to make it an acronym for you. All right? I like acronyms. T, trust, test, say test, every thought. H, helmet of salvation. You got to remind yourself consciously you're saved. The helmet of salvation. I am saved. This is who I really am. I imagine great thoughts. Man. Just begin to imagine great thoughts. Come on. Begin to imagine great thoughts. The blessing of God upon your family, upon your children, upon your children's children. Just begin to imagine. Hallelujah. You begin to declare those things. Come on, amen. You begin to think those thoughts. Amen. I begin to stand before and begin to, as I'm worshiping, I'm praying, I'm beginning to, these imaginations, these thoughts of what I know that God desires for my life. I begin to speak those things. I begin to take what is just a thought and begin to declare it and bring it, give it voice and declare it and speak it. Because the environment around you, I'm telling you this, we create an environment. Some things happen, but I'm telling you, the environment around us, because we are atmosphere changers. The atmosphere in the spirit, hallelujah, can be changed by you. You can change the atmosphere, the way you feel, all those things, with joy, press fear out, change the atmosphere. Imagine good things. And nourish your minds daily. Nourish your minds. We take care of so many things, guys, but we need to nourish our minds. And keep on learning. Keep on learning. Don't stop learning. Keep on learning. Somebody got Romans 12:2? Wait. What? See, our body, everything we see on the outside, our soul sees this stuff. Don't be conformed to the world, to what you see. Might be true, but be transformed. How are we transformed, brother? I want you to hear this. It's a choice whether or not I want my mind renewed. So many Christians go their whole life without letting God renew their minds. Give me right thinking. They would take the scriptures and they'd put it on their forehead. It was symbolic. And they walked around everywhere. When they woke up in the morning, they took the scriptures and they put them on their forehead. They'd get a scripture and they placed it in this little box and put it on their forehead. God was demonstrating something. This is what the priest did. And they walked around every day. They put a new one in their head. Renewing their minds. Renewing their minds. Come on, amen. That's what we're to do when we get saved. We have a choice. I can't do it for you. Come on. Nobody could do it for me. I had to make a choice whether or not I want my mind renewed. Not just what somebody else said, but I wanted to see what it said. I needed to take it and make it mine. It was going to renew my mind. It was my relationship with God. Next verse. Keep going there. Only as my mind becomes renewed can I know the perfect will of God. Now keep going. Here's how I do it. Somebody look me up, Philippians 4:6. The enemy tries to have hiding places in people's thoughts. Hiding places. Thinking incorrectly empowers the enemy. Hang on, hear me? Thinking incorrectly empowers the enemy. It's not that we have bad thoughts sometimes. We have them. But when it becomes a lifestyle, when that bad thought becomes a lifestyle for my life, it becomes a stronghold. They come out when we're anchored, when it's anchored to the soul. When you're anchored not to God, but to your soul, those things rise up. Every one of us fear. Every one of us have anger. Every one of us have these different things, depression. But what do I do with it when it comes? Do I make a bed for it? Or do I begin to declare and renew my mind, renew my thinking, and cast out those thoughts, those things that exalt? Or do I exaggerate them and they become towers and command centers in my life that dictate the way I'm going to live my life? Depressed, overwhelmed with anger and emotions and all these things. Or am I going to stand, pull down those strongholds, hallelujah, and let the voice of God be the voice in my life? Philippians 4:6-8.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds
Keep going.
Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Exalt these things. Don't exaggerate the opposite, but exalt these things. Whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever things are good report. Say good report. Come on, amen. Good report. You say, but I don't have a good report. Yeah, yes you do. Yes you do. Hallelujah. Yes you do. We hear so much negativity, all this stuff that's going on. But pastor, you don't, no. I'm here to tell you, hallelujah, we are more than able to overcome. We are more than able, hallelujah, to overcome. Because why? I have another spirit, hallelujah. It's the spirit of God. We don't have the spirit of disobedience and rebelliousness, that we're not going to honor what God says. We're the army of God. We are mighty to pulling down strongholds that exalt above who God is in our lives, casting down those thoughts and imaginations.
Amen.
Last scripture. Does this help you out tonight? Nahum. You haven't been there, have you? For a while. Nahum. The battle you win in your mind is the battle that you win in your lives. The Lord is good. Say, the Lord is good. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What's the next verse? Nahum 1:7. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Ready? Say it with me. The Lord is good. A stronghold. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. Amen. I got one more scripture on my heart. I want to just this, I remember this one right here, real quick. Proverbs 20:22. I'll read it to you real quick. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and cast down the strength of the confidence thereof. A wise man will scale the walls and pull them down. Come on. Pull them down. Those things that he trusted, he'll pull them down. Because God is going to be the stronghold in your life. He is my strong tower. He is my tower. Come on, amen. That's who he is. He wants to be that for you in every situation. And everything you go through. We're not hopeless. Come on. You're not hopeless. You're not hopeless. Doesn't matter what we face. There's hope. First thing that comes to your mind is negativity. Cast it down. There's hope. And you begin to cause yourself to come to attention. You cause yourself to be quickened. Come on, would you just stand on your feet? Heavenly Father, God, we come before you, knowing to God, Lord, that this is such a beautiful, our life is so beautiful to you. But because to you, God, it becomes such an opportunity to watch us grow and to develop into mighty men and women of God. Mighty children, sons and daughters, revealing who you are. Watching you become the strong tower in our lives. And how proud you are to say, this is my beloved. He trusts in me. He doesn't trust in anything else. His love oversees every doubt. His love overrides fear. His love for me and His trust for me is greater than anything that's on the outside. Father God, Your Son says, what's impossible with man is possible with God. You turn everything for us as we turn to You, God. So Father God, those things that we trust, those things that we might not see that are deep, God, we ask You right now, God, Lord, create in us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within us. Lord, that we could see You for who You are. Not because of exaggerated problems, but to exalt You above all those things. Give You the glory that You're worthy of. All Your might, all Your strength in our lives daily. Father God, I choose You. I choose You. I choose You over all those other things. Give us strength right now. Right now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Say, Father God, give me the strength to choose You every day. Thank You, Jesus. And I just hear the Lord say this. The Word of God says that all that has ear, let him hear. And to have an ear to hear, whatever you hear, you have to give it your attention. God says, I desire you to hear me, but I need your attention. I need your attention. I need you to turn to me and to hear me. And what was a whisper will become thunderings. Will become a roar within your life. Will cause you to run because you walk with confidence because you know my voice. And that voice of the enemy that you once knew, you will no longer know that voice anymore. It will not be familiar. It will not get your attention. But you'll hear my voice and I'll have your attention. Lord, we thank You for that right now, God. We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.